ready to go.
Good morning. Currently, some light snow continues to fall outside our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. Temperature stands at 25 degrees. The time is 9:07. I'm Chad Holmes. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up at 9:20, we'll be talking Wisconsin sports with Paul Micklegg. Get ready for a very busy sports weekend. Also, it's going to be a very busy weather weekend. Of course, we've had snow overnight into this morning. A winter weather advisory remains in effect until 1 p.m., but the heavier stuff has moved through. We expect less than a inch of accumulation the rest of the morning. But again, as we heard earlier from meteorologist Brittany Merlot, that we had an opportunity to, when we talked to her, to hear about some very, very heavy snow that could be coming in on Sunday. Again, we will talk about that as we continue. But before we continue, need to say good morning to Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Again, you're heading off later today as you will be heading towards Madison.
And, oh, yeah, a trip to see the whole family. We have to get the whole family together again. It's been a while.
Absolutely. So always good to have you on board.
Happy to be here.
Before we go any further, I wanted to take a little time to talk about Ron Johnson. I haven't had a chance to talk to Ron Johnson.
Oh, here we go again.
Recently. And of course, earlier this week, there was some hearings in Congress. And Lev Parnas, who is a Ukrainian-American businessman who had worked closely with Rudy Giuliani in the recent past, and they had work that had a specific focus. The goal was to dig up dirt on Joe Biden ahead of the 2020 presidential election. Parnas, who ultimately went to prison, later turned on Team Trump and brought damaging allegations to the public about the anti-Biden smear campaign. It was against this backdrop that Parnas appeared at the latest House Oversight Committee hearing this week, where he delivered sworn testimony that the Republicans, and most importantly, Ron Johnson, probably did not want the public to hear. Parnas said the American people have been lied to by Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani, and various cohorts of individuals in government and media positions. They created falsehoods to serve their own interests, knowing it would undermine the strength of our nation. And of particular interest was Parnas's comments about Team Trump's congressional allies who helped spread anti-Biden misinformation. And the name that was right at the top of the list, the witness specifically told lawmakers, for example, that there were people doing the bidding for the Russians. People in Congress like Senator Ron Johnson. Referring to his disinformation efforts with Giuliani, Parnas added, Ron, this is a quote, Ron Johnson was our guy in the Senate. Again, Ron Johnson was our guy in the Senate, said Parnas, Lev Parnas, who was part of a disinformation campaign that was basically forwarding bad information from the Russians to try and skew the election towards Trump in 2020. As the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported, the Wisconsin Republican was not altogether pleased with the testimony. A spokesman for Johnson dismissed the comments as baseless. Said, anyone who ties Senator Johnson's legitimate and accurate oversight work to Russia is amplifying a despicable lie that Democrats spread in 2020 to discredit the senator's work and to protect Joe Biden, end quote. Number one, Ron Johnson has a record now of being a Russian ally. It was just in the last couple of months where he got up and said that Ukraine should basically give up Americans should turn their back on Ukraine and give that country to Russia and Vladimir Putin. We can all appreciate why Ron Johnson is a bit sensitive about such accusations. It was just last month when the public learned that Alexander Smirnov, the witness at the heart of the Republican Party's impeachment crusade against President Biden, was arrested for lying to the FBI about the Bidens and allegedly received information from foreign intelligence officials, including lies from Russia. Ron Johnson wasted little time in declaring that Smirnov is innocent until proven guilty, and suggested that the Justice Department's investigation might be corrupt, protecting a Russian criminal. A couple of weeks earlier, as I said, Johnson denounced U.S. aid to Ukraine, criticized U.S. sanctions against Russia, and expressed agreement with Vladimir Putin's recent rhetoric. Vladimir Putin has no better friend in the United States of America than Ron Johnson. At what point are the people of Wisconsin going to realize that Ron Johnson is serving Vladimir Putin more than themselves? Of course, years earlier, Johnson conceded that he received an FBI briefing warning the senator that he was the target of Russian disinformation. He blew off the warnings, of course. Before that, U.S. intelligence officials were warned. U.S. intelligence officials warned senators and their aides that Russia was engaged in a campaign to essentially frame Ukraine for Russia's 2016 election attack. Soon after, Johnson nevertheless appeared to endorse Russia's line. And of course, going back even further, just a year before that, Johnson was part of a Senate delegation that spent the 4th of July in Moscow. Upon his return, the Wisconsin Republican questioned the utility of U.S. sanctions against Russia. And now, just this week, a former Giuliani associate and former Trump ally has delivered sworn testimony that Ron Johnson could be counted on to do the bidding of the Russians. And Ron is going to try to swat that away. But the record is clear that Russia has no better friend in the United States Congress than U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. And another point that I wanted to make here is, you may not have heard this, or maybe you have heard this, but it has not got a lot of story. Ron Johnson is interested in becoming the newest Republican Senate leader, replacing Mitch McConnell. I mean, can you imagine having a Russian ally as the leader of the Republican Party in the United States Senate? Mitch McConnell has announced he would be vacating the position starting in November, and Ron Johnson is not currently in the 6-member Republican Senate leadership team. They even think he's a clown. But Ron Johnson's office was asked if he would seek the top spot. And Johnson's spokeswoman, Kirsten Pelz, said, currently, Senator Johnson is attempting to lead a process to develop a consensus on what the Senate Republican mission is. And according to Ron Johnson, I think the Senate Republican mission is to be the best friend that Russia's ever seen, but that's just my opinion. What principles will guide it and what goals are achievable? In other words, what the Senate Republicans stand for and what will members fight for? He is hoping leaders will emerge from that process. She also did not say no. Johnson has refused to publicly say no to the question at least one other time. But again, even if Johnson wants it, it's not going to be easy. I mean, he has not shown any significant leadership skills in the United States Congress. What does he push through? Other than being a blowhorn for the Russians, he has not been able to persuade others. He has been more of a loner than a leader in his years in the United States Congress. Johnson's handling of things like the fake elector issue could cause some problems. Do the Republicans really want the guy that was leading the fake elector issue in Wisconsin to be their leader? I mean, you recall, attorney for then-President Trump gave Johnson paperwork in early 2020 for fake electors in Wisconsin in an attempt by Trump to falsely declare that he won the state. Johnson was asked to give the paperwork to Vice President Mike Pence before his ceremonial duty to certify the election on January the 6th. And despite all the evidence that shows that Johnson knew this well beforehand, he continues to lie about it. He has denied that he knew what was in the packet. I mean, give me a break. I mean, basically, he's just a big loudmouth. He likes to be outspoken. He is always eager to weigh in on issues, even when his position is unpopular. Mm-hmm. But he has not developed any kind of network of trusting relationships with his colleagues. He's just, again, a clown on the Senate floor.
Exactly.
But, and all he does is appear on these right-wing cable channels. I mean, he loves to be on Real America's Voice and with Marie Bartiromo on Fox Business. And, again, I would love to know how this guy continues to raise his personal wealth while serving as a public servant. I mean, it just keeps rising and rising. Now he's up to $39 million, his net worth. So, again, I mean, the idea that this guy actually thinks that he could be an answer to become a leader in the Republican Party as a leader of the Senate is completely ridiculous.
Please.
But again, he just keeps lying all the time. And Parnas was under oath. Ron Johnson never goes under oath. Ron Johnson, again, Lev Parnas said it again, that Ron Johnson could be counted on to do the bidding of the Russians. That Ron Johnson was our guy in the U.S. Senate. Ron, again, that's what Parnas said. Quote, Ron Johnson was our guy in the Senate in terms of spreading Russian misinformation. At what point, again, will people say, okay, enough is enough? We have enough evidence that says your priorities are with the Russians and not with the United States of America. That's our guy, Ron Johnson. The time is 9:18. Again, the snow is really getting light out there. Very light snow at our downtown studios. Temperature of 25 degrees. We're expected to be joined by Paul Micklick coming up next here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. It is Friday, again, snowy Friday morning, but still heading towards the weekend, and a very busy weekend, to say the least. And as I said earlier, really the only thing that's stopping it from being a complete massive sports weekend is the Brewers don't open until next Thursday. So got a lot of college basketball. As I said earlier, the Wisconsin women's hockey team in the Frozen Four. The Bucks are heading down the stretch. And to talk about it all is Paul Micklick. And Paul, and also, as I just heard, fifth grade state basketball. Yeah. But your boys have done a great job, 23-0.
Yeah, yeah.
So. And again, the thing that we were talking about, the cool thing is to go down there and be in a great environment and have fun. And again, congratulations to you and the kids and everybody, and have a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. And you know, and some of that stuff is not just for the games itself, obviously. Right. It's the stuff around it and
the being experiences
with friends. Yeah, go with your buddies and go around. And the reality of it is, you know, you only got so many time. You only in fifth grade one time, for example, and sixth grade one time, and seventh grade, and things like that. And so you make those memories, and all those other stuff doesn't really matter when it's all said and done. Because you know what, Chad? everything is what in my mind. Sometimes.
Make believe.
Make believe. because I'll tell you, I'm going to start with this is, I want to ask you this question because you might want to bet. Might want to bet. I don't know if did or not. Did you see that block? It was a 1-point game in the Kansas game.
I did not. I was already sleeping.
Okay, that's what I figured. But I'm going to tell you this right now. It was the best block I've ever seen in my life. Honest to goodness.
Because I saw that they barely won.
Correct. It was a 1-point game with about 30 seconds left. And they threw it deep. Mm-hmm. And the guy was going up for a dunk.
Mm-hmm.
The Sanford guy came from behind, never touched him, somehow touched the ball. The guy went down hard because the ball went off, and they called a foul. The kid goes, makes two free throws at the free throw line, 3-point game, and they never got over the hump. And they're literally sitting there. There's no, they couldn't even defend it because
there's
nothing there. And then you know, so I'm like, well, you still got to make plays or stuff like that. My question is in this that situation, and it's true. We have to when you're talking about athletics. For the most part, there's going to be times because what if Kansas goes and wins the whole thing? Yeah, I'm not saying they're going to.
No, they could.
They could.
They could. They certainly could.
You need a little luck to win a championship.
Oh, absolutely. And that's, and you've said this in the past because you've said that, you know, as a coach, it's not just the game. There's all the preparation, all the work, and all you want is a fair crack. You know, that's what you want. You know, when you put in the work, you want people also put in the work and to give you a fair opportunity. That's all. It's not about getting anything extra, just a fair crack. And that's what's got to be frustrating for all those kids and those coaches. And that's their one opportunity. I mean, for a school like that, if you get that win and you earn that win like Oakland did, that it's a once in a lifetime thing.
Yep.
Kansas is going to make, you know, if it's not this year, you know, in the next couple of years, they're going to have a run to the Final Four. I mean, every few years, they're going to be there. But this is the one crack. All you want is a fair shot.
They're down by 20. Think about that. And they came all the way back, Jed.
You talk about turning off the TV. I bet you a lot of people are turning off the TV at 20 points.
And they come back and make it. It was incredible. But I guess what it leads into what we're going today.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing about it is for fans of Marquette, Wisconsin, I think it's nicer to have the Friday games, you know, because it's Friday, you know.
Friday.
You're going into the weekend, you know, and it's like for the Badgers tonight, no worries about staying up too late because it's Friday night and they play the late game. Tonight, but Marquette plays the afternoon game, and again, the Marquette Golden Eagles. And real quickly, part of making a deep run is to be a little bit lucky in the brackets.
Yep.
And Kentucky losing last night opens it up, and that could be for Wisconsin as well because they're both in the South, but more specifically for Marquette because it looked as though if they did the job here in the first weekend, they would play Kentucky in the Sweet 16. All of a sudden, that bracket opens up, and now for Marquette, number one, they got to take care of business. But again, you got to get a little bit lucky with the brackets as well.
Because NC State won too.
Yes, that whole bracket is
so now you got
up,
11 and a 14 going against each other. And Florida, I think, is a little banged up, but you still got to go do it. I mean, you got to make sure Colick.
Absolutely, we saw that last year. They didn't do it.
They didn't do it. I mean, they have a setup like last year, kind of similar after Michigan State.
Remember, you said that was maybe the one year where it kind of was setting up where you could make to the Final Four.
Yep, and that's what they have to make that run, and I think they're going to be. If they have Kolick and they can get out of their way this first game, because it's going to take a little bit. They started playing a different style without him in there.
Yes.
Okay. And Cam Jones had that ball in his hands a lot more, and he did a great job. I mean, so
they adjusted very well.
They did, and I thought
because you were saying early on when Kolick was out, it looked so different.
Yep.
And it did take a little bit of time, but you're right. Going back is going to take a little bit of time. That's why this game is important, and to come out there and take advantage of that, and make sure that they do take those steps, because it's going to get a lot tough. I mean, even if they do win this, a team like Florida is always going to be tough because you know they're going to have athletes, and they've gone through the ringer of a good conference schedule as well.
And that's the kicker with Kentucky is, if you actually just look at talent, I mean, I think they were saying like they have like two guys that are going to be in the lottery.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you lose? You had a guy going, some guy's going to be working at 32 for them that's going to be working at a bank in a couple months.
But he look like an old guy?
What?
the kid for Oakland. He just looked old to me.
Well, I think he is. I know. He started his banker's job already, I think. That's what I thought I heard.
But for Kentucky, I mean, the talent was there, but maybe that inexperience where you have a lot of freshmen, a guy, one and done guys that have not, this is the only time they're going to go through this. That sometimes can be a factor where you don't have that opportunity to learn from your mistakes because they make the mistakes and now they're going to go to the big league.
Correct. I will say is in any sport, it doesn't matter what. In the end, 8 out of 10 times talent wins.
Yeah.
And so the longer they stayed in, the better for them.
And the thing about Kentucky real fast as well is I think now they're like 1-4 in their last 5 NCAA tournament games, and they tend to be losses like this. So you say at 80%, well, it's actually been 80% they're losing, even though they have had massive talent. I mean, every year you hear about Kentucky and the Calipari bringing in another 4 or 5McDonald's All-Americans, and yet it's about building. And again, that's what's worked well for Marquette and for Shaka Smart. I think that he has found a sweet spot where you have guys that are really good, but they're also not the one and done types. There may be 2 and done types, yes, or 3 and done types, but I think if you're all one and done, it makes it very difficult. Again, you don't see very many teams that may be the best talent wise. Even Duke in recent years, Duke used to be where they had guys that went through the whole process. Then they started going to the one and done, and they have not made the deep runs really as much as they used to, where they were perennially a national championship contender.
Final Four team every challenger for that every year.
All right, we're going to have an information update. We're going to, again, talk about what to expect today with the Badgers and the Golden Eagles. And, of course, the Bucks played the last two nights. 11 game gap between Boston and Milwaukee for 1-2. That's Boston's getting to the point where they're going to have everything to lose if they don't go to the finals because they've been so dominant this year. But we'll talk Bucks and more as well. So it's 929, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. I point at him and then I cough, which is stupid radio right there. Stupid radio. But 9:34 Friday morning, Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. But I want to talk about these games, Badgers and Marquette, a little bit more. But there was a story that came out a couple of days ago on Wednesday. Tom Izzo, the Michigan State head coach, of course, frankly, again, their resume was not great, but they showed again. I'm not saying they're not one of the best teams in the country, but until they beat Minnesota, I don't think they had won a game outside of Michigan all season long. I mean, in the Big Ten tournament, they won a game in Minnesota against Minnesota. Their resume was not great, and yet they got a 9 seed, and they won, obviously, against Mississippi State last night. But they are always in. Even last year, they were mediocre. And again, does that mean they're underachieving during the regular season or not? I don't know. But Michigan State's Tom Izzo, who has coached teams in recent years that have lost in the NCAA tournament to George Mason and to Middle Tennessee and to Nevada, so not powerhouses, was asked about perhaps changes in the NCAA men's basketball tournament. And the SEC commissioner also said this recently, but Izzo was asked about this, and he said that he would support ending automatic access to the tournament for mid and low major conference champions. And it popped in mind because during the break, I had mentioned the fact that the Badgers' opponent tonight, James Madison, if they had not won their tournament, they would not be in the tournament. What Izzo is saying is basically, even if James Madison went 31-3, even if James Madison won their conference tournament, they should not be in the tournament. And the idea of what makes this tournament special, like we saw with Oakland, Oakland would not have been in the tournament under this idea that, nope, we should not give these teams from the mid and low conferences an automatic berth in the NCAA, that they should be one of the best 64. I thought that is just so tone deaf. he's making so much and again, you're going to jump on me for bringing up money, but he makes $6.2 million because the and because it's not because of the regular season.
Well, he makes money? You don't
no,
like that?
No, but I'm saying I'm going to try to make a point here. He makes that number because of the NCAA tournament beyond anything else. That's where college basketball really we follow it, but not but the average viewer jumps on board starting last night and watches. Isn't it just tone deaf that people like Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, who wants to get more of these major conference teams, the 16 and 15 teams, get them a bid? And now Tom Izzo saying, no, these teams that have beat him in this tournament shouldn't be getting in. I mean, you obviously watched late into last night watching these games. Isn't that tone deaf? I mean, I understand the idea that, yeah, we want the best teams all the time. But if you're 17 and 16 and you don't get in, that's kind of a you problem, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing, I mean, if you go back to it, Oakland, and I would like to know how many people know who they beat to get to the tournament.
I have no idea.
UW-Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah.
So you're talking, UW-Milwaukee had them. They actually were winning with about 5 minutes left in that game, five and a half.
Was that the championship game?
That was the championship game, yep.
Man, and usually I keep an eye on Milwaukee a little bit, but I did not at all.
Yeah, well, look at this. This guy, I thought Chad knows stuff. He doesn't even know who they...
I am just pulling things out of the air here,
yes,
I tell you.
And they played Detroit, who was in that conference, and they were 3-31 or whatever they were. And they beat them by five earlier in February, Oakland did. And they just beat Kentucky by, what was it, four? So
yep.
Think about that.
Yep.
My only thing I have to say is we probably got bigger problems than that for college basketball than who's in the NCAA tournament, because the transfer portal and everything else is killing it.
Would
anyways.
You say that the NCAA tournament is working pretty well right now?
I don't know why.
In terms of entertainment value for everybody?
I think these guys say it sometimes. It's calculated what they're trying to say. They're trying to ante up money. You know, I think they're trying to make it bigger.
Because the Big Ten, what is it going to be? Is it going to be 20 teams next year, 18? I can't even. I've lost track. Is it 18 teams in the Big Ten next year?
Well, how many do they have right now?
They have 14 right now, so they're
so
adding
it's 18.
Okay, 18. I guess we'll get to 20 eventually.
Big 18.
So do we need to see the 14th place team in the Big Ten get into the NCAA tournament, or the Big 12 is going to be bigger, whatever number it is, the SEC? These teams have the opportunity. If you don't even have to be that good, like Michigan State, what were they, 19 and 14 or something going into the tournament?
Yep.
I mean, all you have to do is be a little bit over 500, and the idea that no, we got to make sure that these low and mid majors don't get their moment in the sun, because we got to make sure that Penn State gets into being 14th place in the Big Ten or something like that.
They're just trying to make sure that they buckle down, especially with that being to an 18 team conference, that those teams still get in. I honestly think it's calculated. I don't think it's legit. They know that what makes the magic of March is not watching Kentucky. Well, some people might think it is Kentucky and Duke in the championship. That's not the magic of March. The magic of March is having that underdog win a game here or there, and you know, and then watching the national championship. But would you watch that game? Would you watch a Duke Kentucky game in the regional semifinals? Not, I'm not saying
right,
the
right.
Final Four, because I wouldn't.
Well, you're exactly right. The magic of this tournament is having those incredibly interesting matchups with teams that you have no idea who they beat to get there, battling these blue bloods, and then the perfect scenario then at the end is to have the blue bloods there for the championship game,
for the big one.
Exactly. But and even last year, though, we had a couple of Cinderellas, and I thought
San Diego State
and Florida Atlantic.
Yeah,
and I thought that was fantastic as well. But you're right. I mean, exactly right. Having Duke and Kentucky in the round of 16 is very different than in the Final Four.
Yes, and that for money purposes.
So let's not change it. That's my. But it's going to be changed because the money talks all the time.
They will never take away the automatic bid. I'm going to tell you that right now.
I hope not.
We will be dead. We will be long gone.
But the whole idea that they're even mentioning this is like... Mm.
They're saying it because Tom Izzo knows that it's becoming an 18-team conference, okay? So now, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
You're going to want the ninth place team to get in.
Exactly. No, double-digit teams from these
conferences. He's setting himself up. Is that? Yeah. That's all he's doing.
Making sure that he can keep his long stretch of NCAAs going.
And to be honest, I don't think there's a lot of people that are pretty dirty. I think he's actually stand-up guy.
All right, let's talk about it. We've talked months ago about getting through the first weekend. Marquette and Wisconsin, are they going to get through the first weekend?
Marquette does. Wisconsin, they have a tough one today. Just because of what they're going to face, and I think Wisconsin
Sunday, tough.
I'll tell you this right now. I'm going to go out here and say, okay. Wisconsin gets past today, they will make it to next weekend.
They're going to beat Duke,
100%.
100%.
100%.
Pizza on that one. If Wisconsin plays Duke,
there is no bet though if they lose tonight.
I know.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
100%.
And
maybe you can win a bet once.
Maybe once I can. And we still have that hopes then of an Elite Eight matchup.
If they get past tonight, I think tonight is going to be when they get to the second round against Duke, it's going to be more of a even Steven kind of game. And I think Wisconsin will beat that team. Tonight is, I watched that Samford team. You watched the Oakland team last night. It's a one magic moment.
Right.
If they're on, they're on. And there's going to be nothing to stop. There's going to be nothing to stop them. If they're on, they can shoot the ball. They play good against the three-pointers anyways, and Wisconsin doesn't shoot. Wisconsin needs to shoot threes at a high percentage to beat a really good team. That's how they're going to do it. And I don't know if this is a good matchup from the three-point area for them.
Interesting. So it'll be fun. Again, Marquette 1 o'clock, and then the Badgers at 8:30 tonight. So
you think Marquette's an easy one today?
I think they're gonna play well. Last year in this round, I was like nervous, very nervous, because they've the Wojo years, they never got past the first round, and it's still a nervousness. There's always a nervousness because, again, like you said earlier, when you do have as great as it's gonna be to see Tyler Kolek back, you hate to see change, and the NCAAs is a whole different beast. It is. I mean, yep. Even for the good teams, it's a different beast. But I do think they're gonna play well, and I had them all the way to the championship game in my bracket. So
my
hopes.
they play. The thing is, defense, and this is what scares me of Wisconsin, is defense carries you if your shots aren't going in, and so I think Marquette's defense is pretty good. I think it's really good, and I think their defense. So if their shots aren't going in, they can still take that ball. They can take it to the hole. And Wisconsin, I'm just afraid of that. Their defense is going to slouch down a little bit, and James Madison is going to have a field day. That's what I'm worried about.
That was the interesting thing about that Big East championship game last Saturday. How it was a defensive game for such a long time. Neither team could really get going offensively at all. I mean, obviously with Marquette, the fact that they were able to slow down a team like UConn, and again, how much of it was Marquette? How much of it was just a slow start for UConn? But at the same time, that UConn team. Right now, I think, by and large, is considered the favorite in this tournament to make it two in a row. And Marquette, despite missing their best player, they hung around for much of that game. That, I thought, was encouraging.
For 30 minutes, I thought they played real well. Yep. I mean, and defensively, I just feel that they have good on-ball pressure, and they're not letting the penetration up as much as some teams that in the past has done for them. And if they can do that, they're going to be okay, because what you don't want is that ball, easy shots, penetration kick, penetration kick. And I don't think they're going to give that up as much in this tournament. Wisconsin scares me because I don't think their on-ball man-to-man is good.
We got about 3 minutes to go, and I want to talk briefly about the Bucks, but I also want to get a prediction on the Brewers, because the Brewers open up Thursday. Let's start with the Brewers, because, again, Thursday is their opening game against the Mets. What do you think the record's going to be this year?
Under 500. And I said about 500 last year, so I was a little off.
Right.
But the reason why was their starting pitching was a little bit. So I was a little off last year. They're starting pitching, but the thing is, it caught up to them in the playoffs in that first round. But I would, I just don't see how. Do you know, since 2010, there's been like six teams that haven't been in the cellar in their division. And you can, you got like the Yankees,
Dodgers, I'd imagine.
Dodgers. They're all big ones. Yeah. I can't remember what it was exactly, but and one of the six was what? Who? The Brewers. Yes. You know what I mean? My point being is
they have, yeah, they've been very, I mean, even the years they haven't made the playoffs in recent years, they were there. They had a chance.
I'm a little worried that that division is better. Cincinnati's got those young pups coming up. Yeah. Chicago's going to obviously be better. St. Louis is not going to do that. So now you're talking about four teams already that are going to be a challenge. So anything, I think anything over a 500 season would be incredible.
And it's always fun. It's just great to, I mean, it's fun to be baseball season again. Because that's a,
it is.
It's like a daily kind of thing to be there. It's different than some of the other sports because
it's tough because Monday, like Monday, I think what you're getting at too is like Monday, this last Monday, there's nothing going on.
I know.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, there's always something. Now there's going to be always something going on. There's always going to be. Hopefully they win a few of those so we can cheer for them.
And we're heading down the stretch. The Bucks, even without Giannis, good comeback against Boston on Wednesday and then beat a struggling Brooklyn team last night. Hard to believe, but we're just weeks away from the playoffs. And it's hard. And it's hard to believe they're in second in the East. To be honest with you, with all the drama this year, with a coaching change, and just feeling like it's. But you got Dame Lillard back to back 30-point games.
Three of them in a row. I think.
Yeah, I mean, so optimism now as we head down the stretch.
Well, you have to. I mean, they're second place, and what you got to hope for is that. Yeah, you stay there. You get your
crack at Boston,
and you get your
games.
Crack in Boston. And I think they've proved that they could play with them. I don't think that they're going to get buried by them. I thought last year they actually played worse against them, to be honest with you, than they have this year. So maybe they match up well with them. But just enjoy it. That's all I'm saying is because you know what, I just remember the years where. We weren't even thinking about playoffs. We weren't even thinking about that.
I predict the Bucks will win more than one playoff game this year, unlike last year.
And then win a series?
Yes, they're going to win a series. They're going to win multiple series. I'm back on the bandwagon.
Chad's back.
Thank you very much. Have fun on your trip.
Have a good weekend, Chad.
9:49, our daily history lesson coming up next here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Chad, home show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 9:51. Very light snow falling right now in downtown Wausau, temperature of 25 degrees. It is the 22nd day of March of 2024. That means it is day number 82 of this year. So that means there are 284 days remaining in 2024, and some famous events have occurred on this date in history. Going back to 1978, Carl Wallenda, founder of the world-famous Flying Wallenda's High Wire Act, was killed when he fell off a wire strung between two hotels in San Juan, Puerto Rico. On this date in 1980, PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, was founded. On this date in 1990, President George H.W. Bush shocked the world when he announced, quote, "I do not like broccoli, and I haven't liked it since I was a kid.
I don't like broccoli either, so."
"And my mother made me eat it, and I'm president of the United States, and I'm not going to eat any more broccoli," end quote. So using the power was George H.W. Bush back on this date in 1990. On this date in 1997, Tara Lipinski became the youngest women's world figure skating champion at the age of 14 years, 10 months. On this date in 2001, a 45-year-old man was in a Memphis, Tennessee court facing charges of attempted burglary and drug possession when he was accused of trying to hide cocaine under a courtroom chair. Witnesses said he reached into his shirt pocket and tried to hide a small plastic bag of white powder under a chair leg. A deputy retrieved the packet. The substance tested positive for cocaine, and the defendant had another charge added to his file. On this date in 2018, the Great Pacific Garbage Patch between Hawaii and California had 1.8 trillion pieces of plastic and was increasing rapidly, according to research. And on this date in 2020, Iranian Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei refused American COVID-19 help and referred to a conspiracy theory that it was manufactured by the U.S. Some famous people are celebrating their birthdays today. The great William Shatner, Captain James Tiberius Kirk of the Starship Enterprise, William Shatner, star of Star Trek, star of T.J. Hooker, star of Boston Legal, William Shatner, turning 93 years old today. News anchor Wolf Blitzer, turning 76. Also turning 76, composer Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Oh.
Sportscaster Bob Costas, turning 72 years old today. Actor Matthew Modine of Stranger Things and Weeds is 65. Actor and comedian Keegan-Michael Key from Key and Peele, Playing with Fire, is 53 years old today. Actor Cole Hauser of TV's Yellowstone is 49. Actor Reese Witherspoon, many, many great movies. Reese Witherspoon, I think my favorite was Election, but Reese Witherspoon is 48 years old today. Actor Constance Wu from the Terminal List, Fresh Off the Boat, and Crazy Rich Asians is 42. Former NFL star J.J. Watt, Wisconsin graduate J.J. Watt, is 35 years old today. And Nick Robinson of Shadow in the Cloud, Maid, and Love, Simon, is 29 years old today. And if you're out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. It is among the special events, Broccoli Day. It is As Young as You Feel Day. It is International Day of the Seal. It is Goof Off Day.
Aw. I goof off every day.
All right. So, well, there you go. So every day
is a special day.
Yeah, every day is Goof Off Day for you. It is Sing Out Loud Day.
Oh.
And it is World Water Day. So those are a few of the special events being acknowledged here today on the 22nd of March of 2024.
Even if the water is frozen like it is right now.
Yeah, exactly right. All right, it is time. Right. It is time for our number for the day.
I can do this.
It is the last chance of the week to be able to get a win for Ian Welsh. Ian is 0 for 4 this week.
I guess start the weekend on a high note.
Yep, and you're 0 for your last 9. Last 9.
I got to get this. Again, I have to get this. I will get this.
All right. Well, oh, my God. I got a couple of different choices here today. All right.
Okay.
It's going to be, what is the best exercise to burn the most calories? So the number, and based on exercising at a moderate pace, a 155-pound person can expect running or cycling to burn the most calories. And I'm going to ask you, the average moderate pace for a 155-pound person running, how many calories in 1 hour would that person burn off? That is the question. How many calories and exercising, running at a moderate pace for a 155 person, how many calories would you burn off? This is the best way to burn off calories.
Okay.
All right. The choices are A, 463 calories.
Okay.
B, 563 calories. C, 653 calories. So how many calories? 463, 563, or 663 would you burn off in 1 hour running at a moderate pace for a 155-pound person?
I'm going to go with the biggest number. I'm going to go with 600.
563.
Dang. That's what I was thinking. I was going. I had that in my gut.
All right.
And then I jumped on it.
I thought you were going to say the one in the middle today. I really did.
I was so close to saying it.
All right.
I have to get back on the track.
I don't know if Bob's going to do it with you or not, Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. We'll see. But on Thursday, for sure, when I come back, I expect you to start a winning streak.
Yes.
For sure. Ian, have a great weekend.
You too, Chad.
I will be back next Thursday. Bob Look will be sitting in Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Monday, he will have Gary D'Amato, Wisconsin golf writer, and also WSAW-TV anchor Jeff Talen as guests. And I'm sure Bob will hold down the fort very, very well Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Mm. Have a great weekend. I will talk to you again next Thursday. But join Bob Monday morning from 8 till 10, Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.